Okay, my friends, still another hour to go here of open lines. Whatever is on your mind this Friday night into Saturday morning, and in most cases, it's already Saturday morning. We'll be back in a moment with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we go. Fast night. Let's go to Mark in Seattle. Hello, Mark. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, that's good to talk to you again, George. You may
Thank
recall me. I am the stock buyback king here talking about it in late 2014. And then April 20th, I had a call in and gave you some more information on that.
Mm-hmm. I do remember you.
I should have mentioned something else that's very important about that happening. But first, I'd like to mention that the retail sales number came out for July for the United States.
Not good, I bet.
That's right, but it's strange that the news media really didn't report how it was actually really bad.
All you got to do is look at stores like Macy's, you know, shutting down 100 stores. Unbelievable.
Right, but that's, the brick-and-mortar type.
Yes.
Whereas the online sales are going up pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty strong.
I heard a story, an interview on Bloomberg Radio this morning. Actually, it was this afternoon. They repeated it. And the guy that was being interviewed said he thought that the second half of the year was going to be good, that the retail sales number was going to come in good. And there was no problem then. But he said now there's a problem. Unless it was just a fluke, there's a major problem.
It's happening. So how do you fix that? You really can't, can
okay.
you?
Okay, here's the thing. Now, first I thought I'd mention...
Hey, Mark, let me ask you, what kind of phone are you on? Because you're breaking up like crazy.
Is there a problem with it?
Yeah, you're breaking up like nuts.
It's a hardline phone.
Is it really? Yeah,
yeah.
You're stuttering a little bit. It goes...
Okay. Well, I wanted to make sure that... I study the economy a lot, right? I probably put in 15 hours... a week on it, at least. I do some technical work. You may want to ask me where I think the market's going. But I've been collecting a lot of articles. I have a lot in front of me. I know we don't have time to go through them. I was going to quote that a lot of the bad thing about the stock buybacks is that all the money that they're borrowing, and they borrowed last year $850 billion for
buybacks.
Bonds. And this year they're on track for $1 trillion, okay? And they put in $572 billion in stock buybacks last year, and they're on track to go higher than that this year. Okay, now what, if you really think about it and study it like I do, that money, and there's articles that are talking about it more and more now. There weren't a couple months ago, but now you're seeing more and
more.
Well,
they do
out.
That to prop up the stock value, don't they?
Yeah, CEOs get 60% of their compensation through stock options, so it pays for them to have their
stock.
Ah,
the higher it is, the better it is, too. Hey, Mark, I'm going to let you go because you're still breaking up, and Tom's going to check with you, find out exactly what kind of phone you are. So when you call next time, you don't have to worry about this. Next up, we go to David in Utica, New York, east of the Rockies. Hi, David, go ahead.
Hi, George.
How are you?
I'm well.
Good.
The first thing I want to do is thank you for the very great service you do for all of us.
Well, thank you.
All these stories about the confiscated Tesla technology and 9/11 and the Bilderbergers, and you're really doing a service to all of humanity. So it's really.
Well, we're going to keep up. We're not going to stop.
Okay. Well, I think if we follow the path so nicely read by your first guest tonight of Cecil the Lion, we can't fail.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So I have one quick Ouija board story.
Oh, not a Ouija board. You used it?
You'll like the story.
Oh, boy.
It's an antique Ouija board.
Okay.
And it's a couple hundred years old, and it was handcrafted in Italy, so it's not really a Ouija board, it's a Luigi board.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. A Luigi board. Let's go to Tom while he's still laughing. Just hear him laugh.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty funny, right?
A Luigi.
From Lorraine. This is what?
That went right over my head.
Oh, I know. That's why I'm laughing. But it was a good joke, too.
Yeah.
This is a text from Lorraine in San Bernardino. Hey, George, I've been dreaming a lot lately, and I'm dying in my dreams. Should I worry? Wow.
Wow, that's something we've got to ask someone like Rosemary Ellen Guiley, the expert on dreams. You die in your dreams, what does that mean? We've talked about that with her before. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to die, but it does mean there are things going on in your life that you need to recognize and fix.
In Nightmare on Elm Street, it meant you were going to die.
Well, yeah, of course.
Freddy.
Of course. But I think there's some things going on in her life that she needs to fix.
Gotta be.
And look at.
Gotta be.
Okay, you're going to come back with one more, what, probably a tweet after the break?
One more.
Okay. Next up, John in Ontario, Canada. Hello, John. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, George?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm static for a minute. Good evening again, George.
Well, it's not static, but when I go to you, you hear the whoosh of the phone.
Oh, okay. Not a falling star.
Watch this. I'm going to put you on, I'm going to put you on hold.
Yeah?
We're going to do it again, and I'm going to go back to you again and tell me if you hear the whoosh. The whoosh of the phones. You hear that?
No.
Hear that? Yeah, but only you hear it. It doesn't get on the air that way.
No, it was just a weird crackle, just like you dropped out or something. But are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
I was just pulling your leg.
Okay. The other day, well, let's see, it was actually it was the 2nd of August.
That was me making that sound, by the way.
More than the other day, but I was downstairs in my basement looking for, I've got tons of musical discs.
Uh-huh.
I love music, but you name it, I got it. But,
Oompa,
and Oompa, then a huge collection of Elvis Oompa, Presley stuff. Oompa, just fills Oompa the whole basement. But this rumbling started really, really loud, and it was getting louder and louder. The whole house shook. Like, so violent, things were falling down, things were falling out of the cupboard.
Like an earthquake?
Yeah, like that. But it was above, not below. So I ran up as quick as I could. By the time I got out, it was just like the sky. It was just like a little poof of cloud here and there, so it wasn't all clouded
could
over.
Have been a, could have been a meteor that blew up, though, or
no,
a little asteroid.
I saw what it was.
What was it?
It was a World War II American bomber. It had the...
That created that kind of concussion?
No, the noise was from the propellers, the four engines.
It rumbled that loud?
Yeah.
That you could...
Oh, yeah, it went right over the house.
It must have been pretty low.
Yeah, it was too low for aviation rules, for one thing, and... The landing gear was half down, so you didn't know whether it was going back up, and there's nowhere before or after me close enough that would have a big enough airport for that thing to land. But I got to see it. I saw, you know, like the machine gunner's pit in the back there, the dome underneath. I just call it the pit. But anyway... I could see the plane. It had the markings on it, like writing, but I couldn't make out what it was because it was going away from me. And there was, incredible how loud it was and how low it was. But, excuse me.
That's dangerous.
Yeah. Now, that's the thing. I don't know if it was real or not. I figured it wasn't because it flew into this one small cloud, just enough to cover it. Then the rest of the sky is clear. It never came out.
Now, was this a U.S.-based plane or a Canadian plane?
No, a U.S.
Huh. What are we doing in your airspace?
No, this is a 40s plane. 1940s airspace.
Yeah, but what's it doing in your airspace, in Canadian airspace?
Well, that's... unless it's some kind of... you know how they'll redo cars and redo planes and... airplane shows and...
I know where you're getting. It's a time warp thing.
That's what... It had to be. It flew into this cloud, just a little cloud, just enough to cover it. And it never came out the other side. And the thing is, I could still see the landing gear was halfway down.
Looking for an airport that it never found.
I guess. I don't know. Could be, but...
Interesting take. John, thank you so much. Let us go next to Miami, Florida. First-time caller, Randy's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Randy, thanks for calling.
Good morning, George.
Morning.
I've got an answer for why the dolphins and the whales beach themselves.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, the noise, there's so much noise pollution in the ocean now, it's unreal. And actually, the sonar is so intense. Though, of course, they have a higher-pitched hearing and communication system. They communicate with each other for their hunting and all that. It is so bad, they have found that it's actually causing them brain hemorrhages. And their only escape is to get out of the water.
Are they doing it because they're off balance or off keel, or just trying to get away from it?
They're getting away from it, and out of the water is the only place to escape it. I used to be a scuba diver. I used to be quite an avid scuba diver. And if you were in an enclosed area of water or close proximity of a big ship, it sounded like you were in a drum. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, you could feel that. Were you PADI certified, by the way, as a scuba diver?
No,
okay. I was PADI certified.
Yeah, I was certified in 68, so.
Do you do that anymore?
I have gone a little bit. I don't go deep very, I'm 68, and I've had my heart issues.
You got to be careful. I have long suspected that sonar had a lot to do with the beaching of whales and dolphins.
Yep. Yeah, they found that they've had, autopsies, brain hemorrhage, and the marine biologists have been able to take over the military's objects. They no longer use it, but they had an intense sound system that they could hear everything going on in the ocean all over the world.
And you know what? It's going to get worse. So that means we're going to have more beached animals. Lincoln, Nebraska. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, George. Good to talk with you again.
You too.
Hey, I got a couple of things. One is a tale of two dogs, and the other one's a political challenge for you.
Okay.
Okay, first, the tale of two dogs. I used to have an old English sheepdog. His name was Elliot Ness.
Ah.
And I had him for 14 years and 11 months. He was the best dog ever, and he had a voracious appetite for anything, especially if I was eating it. And whatever I would give him, he would very heartily and
chomp it down,
like wolf it down.
Yeah.
You know, except potato chips. I handed him a potato chip for the first time ever, and he took it into his mouth very delicately and gently and just kind of very, politely crunched it up.
But he didn't like it, did he?
Well, yeah, he loved it.
Did he
wanted another one. When I gave him another one, he ate it the same way. Just kind of let me lay it into his mouth rather than snap it out of my hand.
I wonder why he did that.
Well, I don't know. It's so, unlike him, because he didn't eat anything else like that.
Yeah. When they're hungry, they chop. Go ahead.
Right. So he passes away, and I'm, dogless for a couple of years. And then I got a phone call one time about how there was this big black dog at an animal rescue place that needed a home. So I go out and check him out, and there he was. And he was half Newfoundland and half probably either German Shepherd or Black Lab, because he had that kind of a face to him.
Mm-hmm.
And his nickname was the 101-pound hound, because he was. And the day I picked him up from the adoption place, he got in the back of my SUV, and over my shoulder, I just by chance happened to have a potato chip with me that day, and I leaned it back over my shoulder to him, and he took it out of my hand in exactly the same manner as Elliot Ness did. Very delicately, very polite, and just kind of real gingerly crunched it in his mouth. And I looked in my rearview mirror, and he was looking, we were making eye contact with me in my rearview mirror. And I said, "Elliot, is that you?"
That's funny.
It just, I was like, he just was such a big dog, and he ate everything the same way.
Same way, know, except for chips.
Except the potato chip, and he ate that the same way that Elliot did.
Love.
And it just so when your guests and I was saying, like, sometimes they'll do something just once to let you kind of know, and then that's it.
Yep, kind of like a little wink.
I don't know. It seemed awfully weird and unusual.
I love it.
Okay, and so now my political challenge to you.
Okay.
I would appreciate, you know, I'd like to believe that you say, you know, you don't pick any favorites in the presidential race.
I do not. I try to pick up the good and the bad and tell people about it.
Okay. So what I have to tell you, Dick Morris makes my skin crawl.
How come?
Because he's I can't get going.
All right. Let me tell you why I like him as an interview. The guy worked with the Clintons for so many years. The fact that he can't stand them anymore, it just perplexes me. And I don't think he's lying about anything. I think he really knows some inside scoop. But so that's why I put him on.
Well, okay. See, my way of thinking is like, I don't know that what he's saying has got any truth to it whatsoever. He could be making up everything that he says. He has clearly got a major axe to grind against the Clintons. And were it not for him being on Fox and Newsmax continually taking the wood to them, I don't think we'd even know who Dick Morris is. You know, I don't think he would have any notoriety whatsoever as a political commentator, other than the fact that, hey, this guy was a really good friend of the Clintons, and now he hates them and he bashes them all the time. So let's get him in front of a microphone and have him on the show. And that's the only reason why anybody even knows who he is. If he didn't do that, if he took it to everybody as much as he does to the Clintons, if he was even-handed about things, he would be nothing. We wouldn't even know who he is. I don't believe.
Well, wait till Jerry Corsi comes out with his book, which is coming out this month, on the foundation. Unbelievable.
Okay, but here's my challenge. There are some people who have written just as denigrating and lambasting of books about Donald Trump as Dick Morris has about the Clintons. You have somebody on the show on election night, along with Morris, that it will balance him out. That would go a long way for me.
Oh, we'll have balance. Don't worry about that. We still have 90 days to go.
I'm not talking about anybody except Morris so far.
Oh, no. I've got Howard Bloom coming on. I've got Craig Hewlett coming on. I've got Dr. John Curtis, who's a Trump supporter, coming on. We'll have balance.
All right. I trust you.
You never have to worry about that.
All right, man.
Okay.
You're doing a great job. Thank you.
Okay, my friends. Okay, we still have time for a quick little mention for you to become a Coast Insider. It's only 15 cents a day, and I would love all of you to be an insider. All of you. There's lots. Let me tell you, there are many, but I would like all of you to be insiders. This is a great way to become part of the program. Podcasting, and you know, when we do our chats, we get a lot of people in there, but I would love to jam it up one day. So Lex, who's the moderator, can't even do anything. He's too busy. But just go to coasttocoastam.com and you can sign up to be a Coast Insider. I'm going to come back in a moment. We're going to do a little contest in the final half hour, which is right around the corner. Well, it's time for our shout-out for those of you who listen to Coast on our 615 radio stations across North America. Hello, Coast Insiders, Sirius XM Talk Channel 146, all the various chat rooms that are out there, Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, Fantastic Forum 2, Sorcery IRC, the ParanormalDate.com group now, Instagram, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, SoCal UFO Meetup Group, thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. I used to say thanks to Greg the Cook in St. Louis. You probably wondered, gosh, he hasn't said that in a few months, because Greg is no longer the cook in St. Louis. back in a moment. Okay, back with you on our final segment of Open Lines. I'm going to be in Denver this weekend, taping our Beyond Belief television programs and heading off to St. Louis. I'll be in St. Louis for about 3.5 weeks. The main reason for the trip is to get to Asheville, North Carolina for our live stage show on August 27th. So we're going to have some fun there. Let's go to the phones and let's go to Skype. Franco is with us, Fort Myers, Florida. Hello, Franco.
Hi, George. Oh my God, I'm on Coast Coast.
You made it. You made it.
Well, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you, Frank.
And, yeah, this happened a few years ago. I'm a security officer. Not a lot of security guys talk about their paranormal experiences. And I worked in a retirement community.
Okay.
And I was walking, and I did night shifts. So I was walking the halls at night, and I was going to an intersection of the hallways. And I saw a black floating apparition. And I looked at it. It looked at me. And it waved at me as if, hey, come over here. So me being curious, I walked over and it disappeared. I turned around and I saw behind me doing the same thing. Hey, come over here, come over here. And I walked towards it again and just disappeared and went all the way to the other end of the hall. And what? I just turned around and walked away.
You sound like you weren't scared at all.
I was more curious than that.
Yeah.
At that property, there was, I believe that the people who unfortunately passed away remained, some of them. And there was this one instance where I was heading towards the back of the property. And it was almost weekly. It drove me nuts. There was this white floating apparition that will float from the back of the property to the fence and then back into the property again and disappear. I could have been no more than like 50 yards from it. One time I ran towards it and nothing.
Nothing at all. That's a great story. Hey, you want to participate? You want a free book if you get this right?
Okay.
All right. This is a old-time television show. You got to get the name of the show. You ready?
I'll give it a shot.
All right. What do you think, Franco? Any idea?
Well, the thing is, what's going through my head right now is like something from the Looney Tunes, a little play, classical music.
That is,
I always play the classical music.
That is not it, but good try. And thanks for the call, Franco. Next up, we go to Roger in Shingletown, California. Hey, Raj, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks.
Good. George, I got to tell you, I live with an alien.
You live with an alien?
Yep.
Male or female?
I don't know. It would take a genetic testing to learn what it is, and I haven't sent that off to find out.
And how long has the alien been living there?
She's been living, or I call her a she because I think she's a she.
All right.
She's been living here probably about 6 years. She's 6 years old now.
She's 6 years old?
Yep.
Now, does she come in as an extraterrestrial? Or?
No. She is who she is. I mean, she's definitely from this planet, but she's an alien in my
Does she look human?
No, not at all. She's gray. And she's got these beady little eyes.
Now, what does she do there?
Does she eat? You can't shut her up.
Does she eat?
Oh yeah, she eats a lot. She eats a lot of stuff.
You feed her
all kinds of stuff. She's an omnivore.
You take care of her?
Oh yeah. Oh, she's part of my world.
Does she talk?
Yeah, she can't. You can't shut her up.
I mean, does she talk to where you can understand her?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Constantly. In the morning, when I wake up in the morning, and I swear to God this is true, I hold her, and she says, I love you.
Where is she right now?
She's about 3 feet away from me.
Can she?
Looking at me.
Does she ever use a phone?
No, and I don't want to wake my daughter up. She would wake her up because she gets loud.
So this alien creature lives with you and your daughter?
Right.
And how tall is she?
She's about, I'd say about, maybe 10 inches high.
A 10-inch high?
She weighs about 3 pounds.
3-pound little alien.
Yeah.
And she talks.
She talks a lot, and she sings.
And how did she show up at the house?
Well, she didn't show up at the house. I brought her to the house. I was able to bring her into my world.
You brought the little alien into your world. Where did you find her?
At a restaurant. I was at a restaurant, and these people they were there in a RV with and they had two others with her, and I took her.
A little 10-inch alien.
Well, she wasn't 10 inches then. She was like maybe 2 inches then. I mean, she was little.
And she grew.
Oh, yeah. Boy, did she grow.
Have other people seen the alien?
Oh, yeah, all the time. They see her.
What's its name?
Her name's Violet.
Violet?
Yeah. And she can sing she'll whistle Dixie. She does Bridge Over the River Kwai. She does Andy Griffith.
That's a great song.
Yeah, she's really good at it, and she doesn't just do part of it. She does the whole thing.
Can you whistle it?
Huh?
Can you whistle that song?
Yeah, I'll be in one part of the house, and I'll whistle it to her, and she'll whistle it back to me.
How does it start? This is a test.
Which one?
Bridge Over the River Kwai. I bet the alien does it better.
Oh, yeah, she does.
Well, and then, you got to send us a picture of this thing.
Oh, yeah, sure. And she's called, she has a name, you know, but, you know, she doesn't have normal cognitive development like mammals. She has feathers, and she's got a beak, and she's called an African gray parrot.
A parrot. I had one of those once. Those things are amazing.
She is amazing, George. I mean, I swear to God, this thing's, she's an alien. I mean, anything that, when you get up in the morning and you go to her in her cage and she says, I want out, and then you take her out, and then she's sitting there looking at you, and she says, I love you, you know, and then she doesn't say it the rest of the day. And then throughout the day, you just can't shut her up. We got a litter of puppies right now.
How about the parrot that created a massive divorce once?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they've done all kinds of
stuff. You know it? Because it kept yelling like the name Bill, except the husband's name was Robert.
Like it, yeah, really.
Okay. All right, I'm going to try this. I want to give away a book. You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. All right, what's the name of that TV show?
Gosh, I would suspect that it might be... It's not I Love Lucy. I don't know, George. I think it's really familiar. It couldn't be the Jetsons, is it?
Nope. The parrot would know.
And it's not Andy Griffith.
No, you can't guess him. You already had your guess.
All right.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call.
Yeah, and George, you know, Coast to Coast is so meaningful for so many people. But you know, one of the things that really upset me once.
What was that?
Still something that I live with.
What happened?
Is when you guys did Toast to Toast.
And you really thought that was going to happen?
I really thought it was over. That wasn't cool. But I got over it.
It was April Fool's Day.
I know, but it was great. You know, you should do a tribute to Toast to Toast.
It was a great spoof. It was a great spoof. I went on the air on April 1st, folks, and announced that Coast to Coast was changing and it was going to be a cooking show starring me and Emeril Lagasse, and it was going to be called Toast to Toast, and people went ballistic. Ballistic. And I kept saying, yeah, we're announcing this on April 1st, and nobody got it. Nobody got it. Speaking of nobody got it, this theme song, Danny, is going to go on forever. Tommy, you got a text, final one for us?
Yeah, I do. I thought we'd end with a fun one. So this is a tweet actually from Chuck. Hey George, if you could be any animal you wanted to be, what would you be?
If I could, a tiger.
A tiger.
I'd want to be a tiger from Detroit. A Detroit tiger.
It's a baseball player.
That's right. I'd want to be a tiger. What would you want to be? Probably a weasel or something.
And why would I be that?
I just have a feeling that you have those tendencies.
What are tendencies of a weasel?
You're a weasel.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Why is that?
I just think that you'd like to be a weasel.
You could never be a tiger.
You could never be?
A weasel.
No, you'd be a rat.
Remember that guy that called us animals at that dinner table? At that event?
Yes. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
He was able to see us as animals.
Yeah, but he wasn't very good.
What was he eating, by the way? Chicken. All right, thanks. John in Baltimore, you're up with us. Go ahead, John.
Hey, George, how are you?
I'm fine, fine.
A weasel. And all I could think of your last caller at first, I'm like, Great Gazoo, before he said it was a parrot.
Yeah, exactly. He had me for a while.
Yeah. So,
want a book? You want to guess this?
Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to throw this out.
Well, hold on. Let me play it. Let me play it first.
Okay.
Okay, that's enough. That's it. What is it?
It's killing me, but I think it's Father Knows Best.
Nope.
No?
Uh-uh. Nope.
I'm in the ballpark, though, right?
Can't tell you. Can't tell you.
I wanted to ask you something, man.
Yeah.
I think orbs, like the ones floating around, the ones, like the UFOs that we see out there. I'm wondering, and I was going to ask about Antarctica, and is it really like Star Wars? Literally out there. You know, I have this crazy feeling that Bigfoot is like Chewbacca.
Oh, no, you know what? I said that once and people laughed at me, but you're right.
It just, everything just seems like that. And then the thing I heard about in Antarctica where, you know, is that that's like a city or something?
Something underneath the ice.
And it's an alien.
Submerged cities.
Right.
Could be bases where, you know, submersible UFOs go.
Right, in the ocean we don't know anything about. So very well could be the USOs or, you know, what we're looking at. I mean, I'm wondering maybe they're coming, because that spot in Antarctica is blacked out, isn't it?
It's blacked out. We don't know who's there. Could be us. Some people say Nazis were there and still are, that the Russians are there trying to stake claim to it. Something's happening.
I mean, I wondered about the Nazis. I mean, I'm wondering if they saw Palladians, like the tall, blonde aliens.
Who knows? You know what?
And that's what maybe sent Hitler off on that crazy.
I mean, I'm convinced Hitler went to Argentina to be sure. Well, we're running out of time here, so we're going to keep this theme song. I've got a whole bunch of them, but I'm going to keep playing that one until somebody gets it. I am not going to tell anybody what it is. I do get emails from people saying, I can't sleep now. Please tell us what it is. You know how you've thought of something and you can't remember it and it drives you crazy until you can get the answer and then it comes back to you and then you're happy again. That's what's happening to people on that song. And speaking of songs, it's Friday night.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. Turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century. Your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Nottasore, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, Richard Surrette this weekend. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.